Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I wondered how many of you might be thinking, Candlemas, did Pastor Anna just make something up and we're doing something new? Well, no. Like I said, this is one of the earliest feasts of the church, and it started back in the 4th century. Right, Mass, we learned last summer when we were talking about the different names for communion, means go, you are sent. You have been filled with Christ, and now you are sent to go share Christ with the world. And so Candlemas, this is the service that we bless candles that we're going to use for the upcoming year, because on this day, Simeon proclaimed that Jesus was a light to all nations. And so I'm just going to teach you a little something, because this kind of thing is interesting to me. If it's not to you, I'll let you know when the actual sermon is starting. So there are 6 principal feast days in the church calendar, meaning we celebrate these every year, no matter what day of the week they fall on. Right? First of all, let me say, every Sunday is a feast day in which we celebrate the resurrection, because Jesus was raised on a Sunday. So every Sunday we celebrate the resurrection. But the principal feast days are Christmas, Epiphany, the day of Easter, Ascension, Pentecost, and the Holy Trinity Sunday. So we celebrate those every year, no matter what day of the week they fall on. Then there are a few what they're called lesser feasts, where we celebrate those typically on a Sunday that they fall closest to, but we also celebrate these every year, right? Reformation Day, All Saints Sunday. Included in that list are also Presentation of Our Lord, which is what we're doing today, and the Name of Jesus. But we haven't always done those last two here. And then there are other lesser festivals. I've got a chart here of some of those that you can remember them and celebrate them, but we typically don't celebrate them in worship. If feast days and lesser feast days are of interest to you, our brother, Pastor Tim Brown, nearly every day puts out a post on Facebook about what feast day it is, whether it's a principal feast or a lesser feast. And he writes about them in such a way that it makes them relevant to today. Why do we even celebrate this? What does it mean for us today? So if that interests you, go ahead and follow Pastor Tim on Facebook. Okay, now the real sermon's beginning. You ready? Okay. So today, 40 days after Christmas, which I can't believe it's already been 40 days. I'm in the thick of planning for Lent and thinking, well, Lent is 40 days. It seems really long, but it seems really quickly that Christmas was just not that long ago. But 40 days ago was Christmas. And this is part of the last bit of that story when Jesus' parents take him to the temple and present him. And so we're actually the ones who get a gift today as we get to ponder the story of Simeon and Anna. I say her name Anna because when I was renaming myself when I was adopted, I wanted to call myself Anna, which is how you pronounce Anna in Hebrew. I thought it'd be really cool to have a Hebrew pronunciation, and my mom said, honey, nobody's going to be able to say Anna. And so Anna, the Scandinavian pronunciation, was close enough. So Anna. I really love this story. All throughout Scripture, Simeon and Anna are two of my favorite people. I not only want to be like them when I get older, I want to be like them now. They are deeply faithful people. And when we encounter them in just these few verses of Scripture, they are of great age. And we get to witness these two people whose character has been shaped and formed by God for decades. Decades. They have spent their lifetime in intimacy with God. And we can see that in their character and in the things that they do and say in these verses. They are very devout Jews who have spent their lives waiting for the Messiah. They waited decades, and still they never gave up hope that God would be faithful to keep God's promises. I think that's pretty amazing because in our culture, we don't wait well, right? We might get upset if we have to wait at a traffic light for an extra minute or two, let alone waiting decades for God to keep one of God's promises. But the truth is, we've become accustomed to instant gratification, and when we don't get what we want when we want it, we can get frustrated. Maybe sometimes we are waiting on God and we think it takes longer than we want it to, and we can get impatient or grumpy. And sometimes when we're waiting on God and it takes a while, we might think that God doesn't care. We might think that God isn't listening. We might even think that God has forgotten about us or our prayer or the promise that we're waiting on. And sometimes we might think that God is absent. And even though we know that none of those are true, there's still this human tendency to think those things sometimes. Well, for decades, Simeon and Anna trusted God's faithfulness. For decades, they held on to the hope that God would fulfill God's promises for God's people. And they trusted God so deeply to keep those promises because they knew that the character of God is faithful and merciful and compassionate and gracious. They knew God intimately and deeply, and it shaped who they were. It shaped how they lived. It shaped how they waited. And then one day, and there's really no indication that they thought this day would be any different for them than every other day, but one day, after waiting for decades, near the end of their long lives, they see with their very own eyes, they see the answer to their prayers. They see the one that they have waited for with their very own eyes. That day, their faith became sight. And if that wasn't amazing enough, they knew just by looking at him that Jesus, this baby, was the one that they had been waiting for. We know for so many people in Scripture, and so many people now, Jesus wasn't the Messiah that they wanted or expected. What did Simeon and Anna expect or imagine the Messiah to be like all those years that they waited? I've always wondered, as they prayed and hoped for decades, did they expect that the Messiah would one day enter the temple as an adult? Did they expect that the Messiah would enter the temple as a strong military leader? Did they think that the Messiah would come into the temple ready to conquer the Romans? Or did they expect, like Luther said, that God would become so small in Christ for us? Do you think they expected that their Messiah would come as an infant, someone so vulnerable and dependent upon his mother for everything? Do you think they thought that the Messiah would come from a prestigious, well-known family in Jerusalem, a well-to-do family at that? Because Jesus didn't come from a prestigious, well-to-do, well-known family. When Simeon saw this young couple with their turtle doves, which, by the way, meant that they weren't just poor, they were very, very poor. somehow Simeon and Anna didn't even question how the Messiah could be raised by two young teen parents in poverty. The moment they encountered Christ, we get no hint of disappointment or frustration. Instead, we get to witness their delight, and we hear the joy and the hope and relief in their response. Simeon and Anna had waited their whole lives long for this moment, and even if it looked differently than they expected, even if it didn't happen in the way that they wanted or preferred for it to happen, they did not hesitate for one moment. They received this wonderful thing that God was doing and had done with their entire selves. Right? Simeon took that baby, he took Jesus in his arms and began praising God. In those moments, he not only held the fulfillment of God's promises in his arms, he held the creator of the universe in his arms. He not only got to behold God with his eyes, but he got to cradle God in his very arms. Simeon and Anna don't seem to care that God did this amazing thing differently than they expected or wanted. They embraced it anyway. They embraced this new thing that God was doing, this new way that God had come to be with humankind. With the Holy Spirit, they recognized and received Emmanuel, God with us. And we're told that Anna praised God for the rest of her days, telling the people all about Jesus and what God had made known to them, and about what God had done. Each time we come to communion, we get to be like Simeon and Anna. Now, although we don't get to hold baby Jesus in our arms, although we don't get to see baby Jesus with our eyes, we do get to see the presence of Jesus with our eyes, and we do get to hold it in our hands. Because as Lutherans, we believe that when Christ's words are spoken over the elements, that the presence of Christ is in them and with them and under them. And so each time you come to this table, not only do you get to taste that the Lord is good, you get to hold the presence of God in your hands, and you get to receive the presence of God into your body. And then once it's taken into your body, you get to leave this place, taking the presence of Christ with you everywhere you go, so that Jesus can continue to be born in us and take on flesh in us. That's amazing. Beloved children of God, we get to encounter Jesus at this table. And just like Simeon, we get to hold the presence of Christ. May we, like Simeon, praise God when we get to hold the Christ and behold the presence of Christ with our eyes. And may we, like Anna, spend the rest of our days telling people all about Jesus and what God is doing in and through him. May it be so. Amen.